The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are on, and we thank you for listening. Today we are tackling postpartum depression and the holiday blues with guest expert Dr. Harris Feinstein. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through health education. And once again, Harris is here with us today. It's nice to see you.
Nice to be back, Steve.
And Harris has been with us before. We did a previous show, and do you recall the topic we covered there?
Raising your adolescent.
Okay, that's exactly right. And I know Harris has given excellent tips. We got some feedback from others after the show, so thank you very much for helping us there.
Oh, my pleasure.
Dr. Harris Feinstein is a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist who has been in private practice in Tampa since 1988. He also provides psychiatric services to college students at the USF Counseling Center. He works with individuals, couples, and families. He has a special interest in psychotherapy. Harris is triple boarded in pediatrics, adult psychiatry, and child and adolescent psychiatry. Dr. Feinstein has been an assistant director to the adolescent unit at the USF Psychiatry Center, a co-director to the adolescent unit at Northside Mental Health Center, and president of the medical staff at Bay Harbor, a residential psychiatric center for children and adolescents in Largo, Florida, in the 1990s. He has provided child, adolescent, and adult psychiatric services for 19 years to clients at Northside Centers, Inc., a local community mental health center. He's also provided supervision to fellows in child psychiatry at the University of South Florida. And so today we're going to explore the topic of postpartum depression. And this is an underdiagnosed condition. What do you think about that?
Yeah, probably so. I think that people, once they've had their babies and go home from the hospital at times after having a very deep and significant relationship with their obstetricians and physically feel like their bodies are starting to revert back to prepartum status, sometimes lose contact with their doctors and with the world when they're sent back home. Prior to that, there's a lot of pre-baby checkups, and then the parents are home alone, sometimes isolated, sometimes not involved with other support services. And so I think sometimes there are symptoms that go on for a long time prior to coming to medical treatment.
And for some of these women who may not have a spouse in the house or whose spouse works long hours and they may not have significant support with them, they, as you said, they become isolated to some extent. And especially if it's their first child, they may not know what to expect.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I think a lot of us have the memories of what happened with us and our families growing up. And as we talked prior to coming on to the program today, people tend to be a little bit more isolated geographically than they used to before, so they don't have as much information available to them. This is why I think what's come about is so important is these mother support groups or local neighborhood play groups that mothers do finally get involved with, where they can exchange information, talk about the children, their development, their experience with their various doctors, and avenues of information that help them to become more empowered as mothers.
It would almost be nice if the obstetricians would have, if the support groups were more structured, organized, and where the obstetricians can actually maybe have a list of established support groups, because it seems to be so important to be able for these moms to share their experiences with others that are going through it or have recently been through this experience.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Let me backtrack for a moment. I think a lot of the obstetricians nowadays, though, are becoming a little bit more sensitized, a lot more sensitized. My experience in the last year or two has actually been quite good with some of the obstetricians, particularly with mothers that have had episodes of depression previously. They get a postpartum checkup. They get a questionnaire, some of them even before leaving the hospital, so that they can know to be scheduled to find out how they're coping within a week or two. Once things like episiotomies have healed and the breastfeeding is starting to kick in, sometimes they lose contact with the obstetricians. But the good ones that are very tuned into the mental health part of things, and I must say women generally have a very good relationship with their OBs, they tend to screen more completely for those. And I think there's becoming more of a interest in the postpartum depression checklist from the obstetricians that I've been in contact with.
And I think it's fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong, that for those women that perhaps are on the more stoical side, that tend to keep things inside, there's nothing abnormal to get postpartum depression. And if you do feel the blues after having delivered a child, you must open up and share it with your obstetrician to get help.
This is very true. I think a large number, I don't know the percentage exactly in terms of the baby blues, a lot of women go through baby blues in the first week or two after delivery. There's been a lot of excitement and anticipation going up to the delivery. And then they come home and they get a little sad, a little irritable. It seems maybe there's a letdown after that. Difficulty sleeping, obviously, with the baby settling in as well, some crying. But this tends to go away within a week or two. It's the conditions that seem to persist for more than a month or come up a month later in which they get what we call the neurovegetative symptoms. They don't eat. They don't sleep.
You're talking about the moms here.
Yes, the moms. They don't seem to have much interest in life. Some of them are interested in taking care of the baby. Some of them even have difficulty bonding with the baby and withdraw from family and friends. They start to get shame. They feel guilty because the mothering is not seeming to kick in. And these are the mothers that need to be seen or to be talked to by initially family members, by their social support networks, either people in their church or synagogue or mosque, or eventually, their OB, and if things continue, of course, with a psychiatrist.
And some of these women seems to have a particularly difficult case if they tend to be a perfectionist. And I bring this up because there's an article here from the Wall Street Journal. It's probably from a year or so ago. entitled A Perfectionist Copes with Postpartum Blues, and how the difficulty she's had. And I mean, I guess the sense that a so-called perfectionist may always find fault in an imperfect situation. I mean, there's a perfect baby there, but it's very difficult perhaps to be perfect in every which way to the baby's needs when the baby's constantly, you know, crying, and one may easily fall into the trap of blaming themselves or being guilty by not measuring up or doing all that's necessary for this newborn.
Yes, that's a very good point. Actually, I think about this more from a psychological standpoint, in which for the first time for some mothers with what you call the type A sort of personality of hard-driving, industrious, wish to, you know, achieve, now they're presented with a totally separate entity. You know, this is a separation process that's already occurred as soon as the baby is delivered. They have a whole nother person there. Years before, we used to think, you know, that there was not so much of a sense that these infants were possessed of so much of their own individuality from the get-go. But this is what a lot of these mothers are faced with: an infant, a person, an other that is not just a reproduction of themselves, but a totally separate entity that has their own needs, whether it be feeding, whether it be sleeping, whether it be wishing to be held, that is not totally in their control. Also, there needs to be an emphasis here on the good enough mother. You know, the way we're wired as human beings, I think that we can do a lot with a certain threshold of good response from the mother in terms of nurturance and physically and emotional, and mothers sort of underestimate, mothers overestimate what the infants need sometimes, and can really satisfy a lot. However, there's always the temperament issue, and of course infants are very different than mothers, and this is what's the hardest for these mothers to recognize.
Right. Well, I want to invite everybody listening out there to call us with your questions on the postpartum depression, and later in the show we'll also be discussing the holiday blues and depression around the holidays. Call in now at 289-1860. That's 289-1860. And outside of Hillsborough County, it's 877-969-8600. Be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
With so much confusion about Medicare these days, it's good to have someone with clear answers. With WellCare, it's all about getting the Medicare Advantage plan that's right for you. You'll get the same coverage as original Medicare, plus lots of extra benefits and a choice of great doctors in the Tampa Bay area. There's no obligation, just straight talk about your options. Call 1-866-907-6682 to find out about our great events near you. Now's the time to get a new Medicare health plan. So call 1-866-907-6682 today. That's 1-866-907-6682. 1-866-907-6682. Get the Medicare you deserve. You've earned it. You deserve it. That's the WellCare way.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Health Care Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today we are tackling postpartum depression and as well later in the show, holiday blues and holiday depression. And to also invite not just the ladies out there or the moms out there, but also the dads. If you have questions about this topic, for example, the postpartum depression, please feel free to call in. Again, that's 289-1860. And then outside of Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600, because we do stream live on the internet. And speaking about dads calling in with questions, on the line is Bill, and Bill's from St. Pete. Bill, I don't know if you're the dad or calling in about a relative, but welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Maskin. This is a great topic that you guys are discussing, and I'm not a dad, but my sister went through postpartum depression. My sister-in-law actually went through postpartum psychosis. Was really a dramatic manifestation of it, and quite a few women that I know have battled with forms of this. So I totally agree with you guys that this is probably underdiagnosed, and it's a really serious issue. Anyways, so I did a little research. I work as a researcher for a local science organization, and it didn't take long to run across a lot of information about essential fatty acids, and specifically one called DHA. And I was wondering if the doctor might be able to chime in on whether he has or whether the doctors that he knows recommends taking supplemental DHA during nursing, because there's quite a few studies out there that talk about the lack of it in the United States. They compared the level of DHA in breast milk from United States, Europe, and Japan, and there was hardly any in the U.S. It was extremely deficient. And there's apparently a real strong correlation between the two, so I didn't know if he had any information about that.
Unfortunately, I don't. I think that's pretty cutting-edge stuff at this point, but I know a lot of people are being very interested in it. Probably what has become more mainstream is probably the omega-3 fatty acids.
Okay.
Because those are supposed to support infant brain development during pregnancy. And some research suggests that whether they're eaten in fish or seafood may also help to relieve postpartum depression as well for the mom. And so a lot of people are now very much interested in that. I don't think there's any general harm to taking those. Obviously, in any large quantities, these things sometimes can cause GI concerns. But for the most part, I think some people are feeling very comfortable with taking that. Certainly the active role of researching and getting information and taking natural substances as opposed to drugs are always something that people are very, very interested in terms of nutrition. And that probably argues more to the bigger picture, which is what is it that mothers need to do once they've given birth? If they're breastfeeding, obviously they need to be taking very, very good care of themselves. Take care of the caretaker. That's always been one of the most important mantras that I think about. Fathers sometimes tend to feel sort of left out because, you know, when the baby is born, there seems to be such a dyadic relationship between the mother and the child. But fathers or brothers or brother-in-laws or extended family members can always be doing good things in terms of trying to be helpful to the mother, researching like you're doing in terms of looking for information that might be helpful from a natural standpoint or from endocrine standpoint, also giving mothers a rest, tag teaming a little bit, whether it be with grocery shopping, housekeeping, these little and big gestures that sort of take the load off the mom, and the whole family sort of comes together and says, we've got this new member of the family, we want to pull ourselves together. These kinds of support are such signs of love, they're signs of support, they're signs of help, and it really sort of welcomes everybody. So while there's not an actual bonding with the individual infant in that first month of life, certainly it sets the networks and the ground for, you know, just a firmer family environment, which is so helpful for mothers.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally concur. I mean, the poor dads are, you know, everybody is sleep deprived during this, you know, early stages of life with their new infant. And, you know, if the other families can kind of kick in and do some of the things that they're too tired to do, that really helps out a lot. And just a little bit of another note to think about on this omega-3 idea is that a lot of women, I believe, stay away from eating fish much during pregnancy because they're afraid of the mercury content. And that may be a great thing to shy away from, but that's also one of the most important or one of the most common ways to get your omega-3s in your diet. So I imagine that picking up and eating that fish after or once you're into the nursing phases could probably be a great idea. And I think a lot of women are probably shying away from that and maybe doing harm to themselves in trying to stay away from the mercury. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And I guess what one has to do is always sort of make sure that one's following the research, also checking with what the amount of mercury is in the particular fish. I don't recall which ones are more the bottom feeders or which ones are more higher up in the food chain, but certainly that plays a part in the concentration of the mercury or other elements. And shying away from shellfish and seafood may be an error. In this day and age, I know people are always trying to supplement with the most pure forms of it, and I think that's probably why people have shied away in the past from fish, but I certainly hope that they continue to research it. I agree. I think, you know, that type of diet can be very, very helpful.
And there there are more, I think, opportunities to get omega-3s, for example, this pharmaceutical-grade omega-3 fatty acids that one could take as a supplement and not necessarily reach out to eating fish. But ultimately, the primary care doctors, the OBs, the gynecologists need, I guess, to be aware of what their patients are taking, and then they can, you know, guide as far as what's safe and not safe.
Mm-hmm.
But they should be aware of any supplements that the mom's taking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think if both of my sister cases, they had been taking prenatal vitamins, but I don't think that their doctors had recommended any postnatal or nursing vitamins. And I know when my sister was talking to me afterwards, she said nursing was just so incredibly toxic on her or taxing on her body, you know, because you're producing an infant out of your own nutrition. So I'm not sure, is it very common to go ahead and make sure that they extend those supplementation throughout into the nursing and like postnatal phase? Or
I can only speak from my experience in that my wife received instructions as far as taking supplements afterward. That's probably more in the area of the, you know, the OB gynecologist to suggest the supplements required for optimal development of the infant, and at least in the setting of the nursing mom. And even if not nursing, certainly the mom has been through an extraordinarily demanding experience, and they need to make sure they maintain and ingest the proper amount of nutrients and supplements. Bill, why don't you hang on? We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break and discuss more of postpartum depression. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Presidential advisor Larry Summers says attacking the country's mounting deficit will have to take second billing behind efforts to get people back to work. The former Treasury Secretary largely blamed the Bush administration for the red ink problem during a CNN interview today. Majority Democrats in the Senate hope to return to work on a bill overhauling the health care system this week, but first, they'll try this afternoon to get final approval for a $1.1 trillion end-of-the-year spending bill that will bankroll the government through the rest of the year. Two senators who support the health care overhaul has been in question are speaking out against the plan to let people as young as 55 buy into Medicare. Independent Joe Lieberman and Democrat Ben Nelson both are concerned about that plan. And with heavy rains tapering off in Southern California, mudslides, fears have eased. People are back in their homes. This is SRN News.
Doesn't it feel warmer outside? Or does it? The release of private emails from the leading climate change scientists suggest the numbers might have been tweaked.
The emails raised fundamental questions.
But Democrats say these emails don't matter.
Emails aside, is there global warming? There's nothing out there that says otherwise.
Maybe Al Gore is wishing he hadn't invented the internet after all.
I took the initiative in creating the internet.
Now, more than ever, we're cutting through the hot air. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
America's digital goddess, Kim Komando here, and my secret prize closet overfloweth, so I will bestow this great digital overload onto you, my loyal followers. I've got digital cameras, tablet PCs, Wii game software, gift certificates, photo frames, speakers, laptops, close to $90,000 in prizes in the great giveaway. It's easy to win. Go to Komando.com and listen to my show this weekend.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of
Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009, and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And once again, our lines are open. You can call in with your questions on postpartum depression and even the holiday blues. We may wind up getting to that. We may have to postpone the holiday blues for another time. We'll see. But our number is 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600. And our first caller today is not a woman, but it's a man. Bill from St. Pete, are you still with us?
I am, yeah. Thanks for letting me chat for so long. I appreciate it.
Certainly. And we were wondering if you would be kind enough to share with us briefly what your sister-in-law went through. Do you have a recollection?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really, whereas in the case of my sister, it was sort of a long, drawn-out kind of thing where we were, it wasn't like an immediate sort of situation that manifested right away. My sister-in-law, unfortunately, I think she initially went into basically not sleeping very well, and rather quickly experienced an episode where immediately she felt like, oh, something's going wrong here, and my brother had to admit her to the hospital. And basically, I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, some sort of underlying tendency towards or family trait towards having some depression situation, you know, that finally manifested itself. But, it was fairly dramatic, and, you know, she immediately was put onto a medicine called Depakote, you know, to sort of calm everything down and to bring her back into, clarity. So, but it was a very trying situation. I mean, obviously, you know, But it happened very, very quickly. It wasn't something that took very long.
Is that her first child?
It was her first child, yeah. And then so they said, you know, look, we don't recommend that you have another. And she did have the child rather, you know, I think she was in her mid-30s. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit more of a risk factor, I guess. But there was really nothing that sort of led us to believe that this was going to be a situation. Afterwards, she did a lot of study about postpartum and, you know, ran into some different, it was really like, wow, you know, if they had given me this or that, you know, nutrition-wise, I may have never really gotten to this stage. So I think that this connection between, you know, not sleeping right, which obviously new parents, very difficult to get a night's sleep, but all that broken sleep in the right person will manifest itself into this rather quickly.
I'm interested in the comment you made that it was recommended that she not have additional children. The implication is because of this postpartum depression, she should not have additional children. And Harris, I'd like to ask you, is it your experience that postpartum depression is more common the first child, or is it equal incidence for subsequent children as well?
I think the incidence increases actually with subsequent children if you've had it with the first child. I don't know that there's evidence that shows that it happens right away all the time with the first child. We know that mothers that have had depression before they ever got pregnant are certainly much more at risk for developing depression. Certainly the studies have also shown that women in lower socioeconomic, lack of support, financial stressors, trauma, a child that's not planned, a child that is not wanted for, all of those factors contribute to it. Bill brings up the idea of the genetics of the family history, and that's always very, very important. We can't yet predict who will and who won't get it, but everybody eventually could. Once again, we want to underline it's not a weakness, it's not a character flaw, it's something that just sort of seems to be in the genes. Once someone has had it, they certainly need to be watched for, because just like with depression in the life span of anyone, they're more likely to have another episode of depression.
So here's my question. Okay. If you know you have a predilection for developing this, is there something you could do? Now, of course, Bill has brought up the issue of nutritional support. Aside from that, is there additional therapies or strategies that, say, someone who's had postpartum depression in the first child and wants another child, are there things that they can do that better prepare themselves so that in anticipation of possible depression, so they can weather that storm and succeed?
Well, yes, I think having an ongoing psychotherapy experience can sometimes be very helpful in terms of support. Even family therapy might be useful. Aside from the nutritional side of things now, I think that the antidepressants have been studied a little bit longer, and people are certainly feeling a little bit more liberal in being able to prescribe antidepressants. You know, in the purest sense, in the ideal sense, we really still would like to stay away from the antidepressants as much as possible, particularly in the first trimester when there's so much organogenesis going on, the development of the, you know, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the GI tract. Those are the major organ systems that we have to be careful about. But as time's gone on, I think we've gotten a little bit more comfortable with some of the SSRIs that have been very, very helpful. In terms of depression, we haven't had as much experience, obviously, as we would like. Prozac is probably the most studied drug in second, third trimester pregnancies, and babies have come out just fine. Even some of the tricyclics in the later stages have been used, but we still feel much more comfortable with SSRIs if they are indicated. The medicine that Bill pointed out, Depakote, is certainly an anticonvulsant. It's a mood stabilizer, and there are significant issues that could be with the anticonvulsants in terms of major systems development. So one would have to be a lot more careful there.
But in strict postpartum depression, where the depression initiates after delivery,
yes,
then if with a history of previous postpartum depression where the depression is literally after delivery, then with that history, a woman could consider properly receiving therapy or supplementation of nutrition and or antidepressants after delivery and be able to weather that storm.
Yes, and even to consider going into having another pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It becomes a much more individual issue in terms of whether or not she would want to risk the benefits to her own self in terms of her health and in terms of being able to have a healthy pregnancy. You know, there are plenty of people that have diabetes that go on and have babies, and then their diabetes seems to resolve, and then they think about having another baby, and they become more of a high-risk pregnancy again, but they get followed very carefully. I think that's the main point, is they need to be followed carefully.
And years ago, women with diabetes were instructed not to have children.
Right, right.
Now, Bill, how long ago did your sister-in-law give birth?
Oh, this was about 8 years ago. So she's doing pretty well now, but she was obviously Depakote was something that had a lot of bad side effects, like the doctor mentioned, and so it was something. And because my there was some other experience in the family with that medicine, you know, on my side of the family, and we had already seen what long-term use of this medicine could do to your liver and other things and weight gain. It was really not a nice medicine. We knew immediately, look, you want to get off of this stuff as soon as you stabilize, and we'll get you on, you know, let's find another route. So she did a lot of her own research. 5-HTP was really effective at getting her to sleep again. And that really seemed to be the trigger point, was the connection between sleep deprivation, mm-hmm. which is really common, and getting to that point where you lose connection with reality, basically. And, you know, your brain is such a sensitive mechanism. You don't, even just somebody who hasn't been through giving birth, if you don't sleep right, you know how you feel the next day. You know, take that out, and I'm sure that is probably underlying a lot of these. This situation is just sleep deprivation. And in my sister's case, hers was more less dramatic. And in her case, you know, I mean, really, it was more of a lot of weight loss, and she was very thin, and she talked about how difficult nursing was on her body. And again, I think if she had, known some of this information about the omega-3 fatty acids, or had really taken care of her body during nursing, I don't think she would ever have gotten to that point. And unfortunately, her doctors really weren't up on it and didn't recommend it. They did blood tests, but that really doesn't indicate omega-3 status, as far as I can tell.
No, I don't think it does. Actually, the only blood test that probably is generally thought of to be helpful is looking for thyroid disease, hypothyroidism, in terms of causing depression and change in the mood, is certainly something that everyone should get checked to be sure that they're not eating thyroid medication. Another point I was thinking of was also the conflict that a lot of these mothers have in terms of wanting to breastfeed, wanting to nourish their baby, you know, from their breast milk, and then not being able to, or seeming to tax their own system so much so that they get themselves into a bit of a catch-22 in which they continue to exhaust themselves. There becomes a point where the benefit from the breastfeeding is outweighed by the risk to the mother herself in terms of her own nutrition, her dehydration, her exhaustion, and then she's not available emotionally and psychologically for the baby in terms of being able to talk to the baby, to hold the baby, to interact with the baby, to mirror the baby's own facial expressions. And, you know, these mothers are always trying to do everything, and they need to be able to give the benefit that they can't have it all sometimes, but there's lots that they can do that will make them a good enough mother and will promote the infant's development. And at that point, I think that's where family can be very, very helpful. What happens a lot with these mothers is they start to have a great deal of guilt because they have an ideal sense. Maybe they've idealized their own mother about what their mother did for them and thinking that they can do it as well. And I think the social environment also promotes that with women who have a very difficult time thinking that they have to do everything just perfect. It's a very, very stressful on women, and they need to be able to be given some space, some room to give themselves an opportunity to say, I'm human, I'm going to do the best I can, I'm going to have the best support I can, and it's going to be good enough. Because you know what? With babies and children, we've all had the experiences with our parenting, you know? Good enough goes an awfully long way.
And Bill, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us and sharing with us your experience, your family's experience, and spending part of your Sunday with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Keep listening. And
thank you, Bill.
We'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Are you underpaid or underappreciated in your current position? Spend too much time out of town or on the road? You love selling, but maybe you feel your career is in a rut. It could be what you're selling or who you work for. Now's the time to do something about it. Hi, I'm Barb Yoder, General Sales Manager at Salem Communications. Salem Tampa is looking for a confident, assertive person to join our marketing team and be an MVP to the business communities we serve. When you work with Salem Communications, you represent the top nationally syndicated talk show hosts on our 4-station radio cluster. Salem is the top conservative values radio broadcaster, providing a financially rewarding, high-integrity work culture. Are you service-oriented? Do you enjoy making a difference for your customers? If you want the opportunity to work for a values-based company with serious income potential, send your resume to me at barb@salemtampa.com. That's barb@salemtampa.com. Salem Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Focus. Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, we are on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We have been tackling postpartum depression with guest expert Dr. Harris Feinstein, and we just had a great call, nice call from Bill about his sister-in-law who had suffered from postpartum depression, actually had to be admitted to the hospital because of it, but it sounds like she's done well, and we're happy to hear that. Some other questions, Harris, about postpartum depression. What if a woman brings her baby home and doesn't feel that rush of love that everyone talks about?
Yeah, that's a difficult one because, you know, there's been so much build-up and expectation about what the mother's going to feel, you know, right after delivery. You know, one of the things you mustn't underestimate is what happens after childbirth. There's a dramatic drop in estrogen and progesterone. The hormones need to be equilibrated. There's changes in the blood volume. You know, all these things can kind of lead to fatigue and mood swings. And so I think if in the first couple of days, you know, these things are not being starting to get equilibrated, certainly getting back to the doctor within the first week is probably what would be best. I think I see this also with the anxiety. We talked earlier during one of the breaks about the fact that anxiety can do so many things. I think I see this a lot more in first-time moms or children that have not been planned, in which they may have more ambivalent feelings. And, you know, being human and recognizing that we have mixed feelings about our family needs to be addressed and accepted. Certainly the nurturance of the mother, once again, I know I'm repeating myself, but that sort of really helps to move things along in terms of taking care of the caretaker, helping her to feel good about what she can do, helping to be supportive, making sure that there's enough people around that can be available. The biggest concern, obviously, is being isolated in these circumstances.
And when a mom has a newborn but has another child who's maybe 2 years of age, I mean, at some point in time, that mom's going to be overwhelmed.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's when, if at all possible, planning can go into this. You know, certainly once these things have started to take on a life of their own, it's a little harder to stop the train moving. But, you know, anticipating is always a good plan. Otherwise, one is in a bit more of a crisis situation in which one has to get on the phone, call people. And I think the doctors are having these mothers come back for frequent checkups to make sure that things are moving in the right direction. So they do need a lot of support, because two-year-olds certainly are not independent children, and certainly need attention as well.
And when there are multiple births, twins, triplets.
Oh my goodness! We've been overwhelmed from the media with these situations, and obviously not everybody can get on a reality show and get all the support that comes with that type of attention. But hopefully, people do reach out to their churches, to their organizations, to their social organizations, to their neighbors that know them. We're social creatures, and we need other people to be able to be there for us, to help us.
And how do you address the guilt that moms may have? I think we might have touched on this a little earlier in the show. From the woman, the mom that tends to be a perfectionist, to the mom that not necessarily is a perfectionist, but is just has a guilt. I think you mentioned before about comparing themselves to their own mother and their own experience.
Right, the sense of the idealization, perhaps, of what their own childhood was like. And certainly things seem to be a great deal more stressful nowadays than they ever were in years past, in terms of needing two family members, two parents to work and to keep things afloat in this economy. Helping them to even be in touch a little bit with the anger. We have an old saying in psychiatry that where there's guilt, there's also anger. Anger about a situation in which they sort of feel like they do have to put everyone above themselves, or to be an ideal person, and to develop more of a sense of a reality. There's some grief that has to go with the guilt. You know, certainly we're programmed to have guilt feelings, which can help us to do the things that we need to do. But once again, the basics. They're basics, the things that need to be had in terms of caring for a newborn, nourishment.
Let me ask one thing here, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
How does a mom know when she needs to see a doctor to talk specifically about these? What are the alarms that make?
Oh, I think one of the things that we ought to emphasize.
Yeah, 1 minute, Harris.
Okay, one thing we ought to emphasize is that people should be rather conservative. They should try to lower their threshold. They should get back to their doctors as soon as possible, like Bill's family and relative said. You know, as soon as you notice that something just doesn't seem to be right, check your instincts and appreciate that and respect that, because I think any doctor worth his weight will see from an objective standpoint what's going on, and so don't hesitate. Anytime something seems to be going on for more than a week or two, certainly get yourself back to the doctor and get yourself some professional help. Bring in people with more experience, maybe another sibling or another extended family member to confer with. Make sure you have social contacts. And when in doubt, go. There's no shame in asking for help and getting some objectivity. And I've been kind of thankful.
Excellent advice. And on that note, I'd like to thank my guest expert, Dr. Harris Feinstein. We've been discussing postpartum depression. Holly Blues will have to wait for another holiday. And I'd like to let everybody know that next week on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic, we'll be exploring infectious disease, specifically AIDS. If a family member, loved one, or you are at risk developing AIDS or have AIDS and have a question, there's some new therapies, new guidelines for initiation of treatment. We have guest expert Dr. Sharut Sambunwit from the USF Medical Health Center, Division of Infectious Disease. And this is Dr. Steve Maskin saying have a great week, and thanks for joining us on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We'll see you next week.
The Focus on Females Healthcare Education programs are for you. Visit our free 5th annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27th, 2010, at the Tampa Convention Center, and every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.